You want to know what life will be like in 2030? Stick around, I'll tell you about it. We're almost there.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I found this great article in Entrepreneur Magazine. It's actually the Spanish edition from Mexico. There is a professor who was from Mexico, also works with the Great Place to Work Institute in Mexico, and he wrote this fascinating piece. It was translated, so it might not come across exactly right, but the concepts are great. Okay, so he asks, what characteristics must business models have to meet the habit changes caused by COVID-19? Now think about this. A lot has radically shifted because of COVID-19, and we have to think about how those changes affect our business. So he says this, we've been confined for months and our habits have changed forever. He's right about that. Now he says that, you know, these changes are not a direct consequence of the pandemic, but they've accelerated the technology of the digital transformation. So we've already been in a digital transformation. And now think about other transformations in the past. Think about life before the automobile, when the horse was where you go. Think about before the assembly line. Like, we had industrialized, but once we hit the assembly line, we took off like a rocket. Speaking of rockets, think about flight. I mean, how did things change? The people spread out around the country. It's nothing to live in a whole different part of the country or the world when you can take a flight and be home that day. Okay. Electricity, light bulbs, the camera, microchips and computers, the internet. Think about all those things and the massive waves of change that they have brought. Well, we're living in one of those times right now because the pandemic has sped up the digital acceleration of things. In fact, just think about these: electricity, light bulbs, camera, internet, microchips, all make what we're doing right now, where you're watching me digitally, possible. Without those things, we couldn't have done that. So we're in this new wave of technology transformation where we're accelerating that transformation. And that's his argument. It's that the acceleration curve of digital transformation is what's important, not COVID. COVID will go away at some point. The arc of technology is really what's important here. Okay, so now he gives, he says that there's a global study by Twilio, pandemic accelerated digital transformation has moved us up from 2020 to 2026. All other things being equal, this is where we would have been in 2026 right now. I think it might be further than that. It might be 2030. But think about this: like, we're adjusting to a new normal where we're used to having, like, I have most of what I get delivered by Amazon. I don't have to interact with people in the store nearly as much, or I can do it digitally. There's all kinds of changes that we're getting used to right now that have been accelerated by this process. And he's going to talk about the changing models. He said this, organizations must rethink their service model. And I'm going to read off the five different ways that he describes this, because this is important. One, from individual contact with your clients to multi-channel personal relationships like websites, mobile app chats, social networks, call centers, etc. That means if your business was dependent on your one-to-one personal relationship, it has to expand now. So, and you know, the best example I can think of is the difference between two snipers shooting at each other, at a distance, as opposed to Civil War, where there would be rows of men all masking fire. They're shooting in long rows to get all those balls down. That's what companies need to be doing now, is masking fire. If your business was dependent on a one-to-one personal relationship, your model has changed, whether you know it or not. And you have to have more than just that one-to-one. And we'll talk about why in just a moment. Okay, so from individual follow-up to a request for help to massive follow-up for the requirements for each person. From learning one-to-one to learning from each other. And we've seen that shift in education already. And then from managing market segments to communicating in real time with vibrant, growing communities. And these communities are everywhere now, and they're expanding exponentially online. And then finally, from offering help on a case-by-case basis to offer it continuously and permanently. Those are some of the major shifts. And as you think about those shifts, think about how your business is going to be impacted. Now, the consultants at PricewaterhouseCoopers said that to make it really worth leaving home, we're going to have to look for something that will justify our leaving home. And I thought, wow, there's something really profound about that. I remember back in 1995, I think it was, overhearing somebody talking to a friend, and they were saying, well, you know, you going to see any movies? Nah, why would I leave my home? I have my home theater. I have everything I need. I mean, I'm comfortable. I'm in my own environment. I have surround sound. I have a large screen. And I was thinking, like, wow, that's kind of interesting. But now that it's not uncommon to have a better system than that at home. So we're going to be more ensconced in home than ever moving forward. Even after the pandemic lifts, after everything's done, we're changing our habits right now. So we're going to have to look for ways that will justify, or reasons that will justify leaving home. We've done telemedicine visits, and I don't know why I have to see the doctor if it's just to say, do you have this symptom? Do you have that symptom? Do you have the other symptom? Okay, well, I can prescribe this. I don't want to go in and sit there with all the other sick people and catch other germs. So it's going to be kind of like that. Our mindset has shifted. He says this: organizations that have attended exclusively in person must generate an individual or collective experience that cannot be achieved at home. So you have to overcome this higher bar, this higher hurdle, in order to get people to come to you. Okay, so then he finally, he's concluding with this. He says there's a business model and analysts such as the International Institute on Innovation or the European Foundation for the Improvement of Living Working Conditions. They agree on a number of factors that have changed. The first is online education. I'm not going to belabor that because I've talked about that before. You can go back into previous episodes. And online education has changed. I teach online. It's okay. You know, 10 years ago when I was on my school board, I was agitating for online education, but I was kind of getting yawns. I got a pilot program going, and so I was proud of that because it kind of moved the right direction. But now everybody's in it. They have to be in it. So online education. Then health and well-being. So if you think about not just telemedicine, but think about classes being at home. Gym Guys. I was listening to a Gary V episode where he was interviewing the founder of Gym Guys. They'll bring their gym class right to your home or right to your office or whatever. That's going to blow up. Peloton blows up. Look at the stock price for Peloton. Look at the stock price for Bowflex, or the parent company of Bowflex. It's all blowing up because people, the trend is to bring things to home, not for you to go out. Entertainment and culture, the same way. Museums, cinemas, theaters, libraries, they're going to be digitizing and letting you process things at home. I stopped by the theater near my house the other day. It's closed. There's a reason for that. Disney is now sending movies directly to video rather than to theaters. And so I would hate to be in the theater business because those guys are now getting crushed. Logistics and supply chain. I have a former student who's in the logistics supply chain business. And just think about what the pandemic did to radically change our assumptions about supply chain and all the food that's gone to waste or hasn't been produced, or the toilet paper shortages or whatever. Supply chain, we need to rethink that. If you're heavily dependent on China, that's not where you want to be dependent right now. You have to think about other accessible ways of making things, still having economies of scale, but getting the right quantities of things from the right places. So all kinds of things have changed because of the pandemic. We have to start rethinking how the business model has changed, because it has changed. It's accelerated us. So we're, you know, where we were going to be in 2026 or 2030, we're almost there now. And we have to think in those terms, not think in the way that we used to think. Okay, that's all that I have. Let me stop with the quotation for contemplation for today. And that's this. This is Winston Churchill. He said, and this was kind of tongue in cheek, but he said this. He said, "History will be kind to me, for I intend to write it." Now, he did write it. He was an author. He was prolific, but he also lived it. He changed history. And I want you to start thinking in the new forms, the new business models, so you can go and change history and be the kind of leader that you would want to follow.